Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Sorry for the nasally voice today. Got my first summer head cold. I don't know where, but anyway.
Do you usually get more than one?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. You know what I did a couple of days ago? I took my daughter, who is in her 30s, and I took my granddaughter, who is almost four, and we went out and played nine holes of golf out at the Bradshaw Ranch Golf Course with a couple of really nice ladies who played with us. They were so sweet and nice to Evelyn, who was all over the place, as you might imagine. But we played nine holes, and, you know, I'm trying to make her the next, Nancy Kerrigan, I guess, by exposing her to the game.
I'm not a golfer, so excuse my ignorance. Was this regular golf or a miniature golf?
Yeah, regular
actual
golf.
It's
a short course. They're all par threes, so you know they're all around 100 yards long. So it wasn't too strenuous. But anyway, if those gals are listening, I won't reveal your names just in case your husbands didn't know you were out playing. They were sisters, by the way.
I see.
You know,
so you went to the golf course with your granddaughter to pick up women. Is that that's what I'm getting? That's sort of what I'm getting here.
Anyway, Mark, while we were out playing, one of the gals asked me, she knew I was the travel guy, and she says, how far in advance does Mark start working on his trips for the following year?
Oh, wow. Well, it's June, so some trips that are slated for January, February, like our Key West trip and some of those things, have already been set up. And in some cases announced to our travelers. So I would say 6, 8, 10 months. Our catalog comes out in September at our tour preview day in the third week of September. And that will have all the product through next summer in it. So anywhere from 4 to 5 to 10 to 11 months in advance. Sometimes something will come up. You'll hear about it, especially regionally. Some type of entertainment thing or something like that, and you can throw it together and get it out fairly quickly. But usually the longer trips, especially if you're going overseas, like right now, we're seeing a huge shift. People who travel with us on tours that have a tour director and a pre-planned itinerary and the like are international destinations have taken a huge bounce up, and in many, for the first time ever, international destinations are more requested than domestic destinations. And so that's really kind of interesting. Something that we've kind of seen coming for a while, but it's now here. And so, we've been in business for a long time, 4+ decades, but most of our experience is on this continent. So we're rapidly expanding our relationships with people who do things in other places that we're not familiar with, because you can't just send a bunch of people on a tour to Japan or Estonia or Germany or wherever it is. If it's a place that you're not familiar with, you've got to make sure that whoever you're sending them with, and is somebody who shares the same philosophies and business ethics and stuff like that as you do, so that your people get the product they're looking for. Anyway, that's probably more information than you wanted, but six months to a year in advance. Things that would generally make people a little bit miserable, that's still going on in selected spots, and I suspect that until there is some type of pushback from authorities in those areas, but it's probably going to continue. You understand what the issue is here. This has nothing to do with people coming and eating in restaurants, I guess it does have a little bit to do, or making lines places, making it harder to get into things. But what it is a housing concern. People are, and we'll talk about this a little bit later on in the program, but the vacation rentals are taking over housing that would have been otherwise used by local residents, and it's driving up the cost of their housing or making it impossible. And that's the main reason that they're down on tourism, is because it's impacting their lifestyle.
Wow. You know, are people going to start packing a squirt gun in their suitcase when they travel?
What'll be interesting is when the tourists start squirting back. If a tourist takes it, and some of these squirt guns were not like, remember when we were kids, you know, the little water pistols that we had? Well,
right.
These are like, you know, long guns.
And right, water cannons.
So, yeah, so they shoot, you know, 100 feet or something like that. And if you were close to them, I would suspect that it might sting a little bit, but it's obvious that there's an issue and something is going to have to be done about it.
Yeah, I agree. Don't pack a water pistol in your suitcase.
I wonder how TSA feels about things like that. We'll have to ask Dale and Sid about that. U.S. travelers scale back trips amid economic uncertainty is the headline. The bottom line to this is that people are waiting to plan their vacations. And what this is doing is having an impact on pricing, because as the hotel rooms don't get booked and the airline tickets don't get bought, the hotels and the airlines say, well, maybe nobody's coming. Perhaps we'll lower the rates a little bit and see if we can entice them. So in some cases, we are seeing lower rates. We got a story later on in the program about lower airfares going to Europe. So the impact this is having as people wait a little bit later is that for those of you who are waiting a little bit later, you know how in some cases it's like for years after COVID, it's been, boy, if you don't book early, you don't go. Well, post-COVID is now post-past us. So behavior is changing a little bit back to closer to what it was pre-COVID. Wallet Hub checks in this week. They asking about what is the 2025's best credit card rewards program. They say that Wells Fargo has the best credit card rewards program this year. This is kind of interesting. Tariffs, that Wallet Hub people say, I'm not sure why this is tied together. Nearly half of Americans say tariffs have made them more interested in earning credit card rewards. What in the world? How would those two things tie together?
I'd have to take a time out here for quite a while to think about what that's
about. Cash back is the clear favorite. 82% of people say cash back is the best kind of credit card reward, topping airline miles at 7%, hotel points at 6%, and gas at 5% by a wide margin. So 4 out of 5 people say they would rather have a credit card that pays them cash back. The average card is 1.5-2% back. I saw one the other day that was 2.25%. But of course, remember those cash rewards are what are driving up either the price of the products that you buy, or as we talked about last week, be on the lookout more and more for notes on the menu or something like that that says, hey, you know, we're adding a 3 or 3.5% surcharge if you use a credit card to pay for your purchase. So, these rewards are not free. Nothing in the business world really is free. Let's see, 65% of Americans think their credit card rewards are not keeping up with inflation. 2 in 5 Americans think credit card reward programs are unfair, as we've talked about often on this program. Whatever you get out of a credit card reward, good for you, but don't go chasing it down the street, because that's what they want you to do, and ultimately that's going to end up costing you money. Because remember, the credit card companies and the redeemers, the hotel chains and the airlines and stuff can move the goalposts whenever they want to, and they've been moving them frequently lately. So anyways, let's see here. Anything else there? And nothing else of interest in Wallet Hub. The Louvre closed last week. This was kind of a big story. If you don't know, if you're a rookie traveler, the Louvre is arguably the most popular museum in Paris. It's where the Mona Lisa resides. And so the staff just staged a spontaneous walkout. Here's the issue. The museum is accommodating twice as many people per year as it was designed to accommodate, and they're understaffed. So there's twice as, do the math, twice as many people with less help means that those people are working their butts off. And they finally have just, my guess is this came after a staff meeting, apparently before opening hours in the morning, and they all just got up and walked out. They came back in the afternoon, so and the museum has reopened. But it was basically their way of saying, and it got a tremendous amount of attention, that, you know, we've had it. We've just had it. So either better working conditions, fewer guests, something like that. So once again, and what this really points to, if you're a tourist, is start thinking about going. The shoulder seasons now really don't exist much anymore. What used to be shoulder seasons have been kind of looped into the main season by people seeking to get out of the main peak season. So you got to kind of go in the off season. Think about it. Costs a lot less. There are fewer people. As a tour operator, we are starting to look at more and more. We traditionally do a Yosemite and a Yellowstone and some other off season tours. to places that are not as occupied. But as a traveler yourself, you've got to start looking at, you know, when you can go to some of these places that is not quite as in season. The U.S. is weighing expanding the travel ban to 36 more countries. The president says, wait 2 weeks and he'll let you know. Hotels are reconsidering complimentary breakfast is the headline here. We talked about this on the program last week about hotels reducing complimentary breakfast offerings and in some cases just giving guests discounts or extra points. Isn't it interesting? Once again, an example of they set up these rewards programs. Look at these wonderful benefits. Oh, look at this bright, shiny object over here while we take these benefits away. And now we've got you sucked in and you don't get it quite as much as you thought that you were getting. Immigration policy. The headline says creating a challenge for hotels. You think maybe that in restaurants? I counted four times this week that the people in Washington, D.C. changed their minds about whether or not they were going to go after undocumented workers that might be at hotels and in the fields and at restaurants and the like. First it was no, then it was yes, then it was no, then it was yes. I haven't looked this morning, so there could have been another change today. But I'm just going to tell you something. If you take all of the undocumented workers out of the hotel and restaurant business and take them out of the fields, you are going to have some issues that you didn't anticipate. And those issues are going to cause you a lot of other issues that you didn't anticipate. So step lightly from here is all I have to say. If someone is in the country illegally and they're not, they don't have the right papers, let's set up a system so that they can get that done. Could we maybe please? In something that doesn't take 5 years, something that takes, you know, a few months. So right. We can decide whether these people deserve to be here or not. So they can get jobs and be part of our society, or that we can get them the hell out of here if they're not supposed to be here. But, you know, in retrospect, going after people who have been here forever and have just been good citizens and are doing jobs, excuse the expression, that white people don't want to do. So I'm in this business. I see these people every day. I say hello to them in the hallways. I interact with them at hotels and restaurants. They do the grunt work. Who's going to do that work? Who's going to do it if they're not there to do it? And I suspect we are about to find out. And we're about to find out at the peak of the tourist season. So this is going to be really, really interesting. Like I said, maybe I should go check the computer and see. Maybe they've changed their minds again this morning. There's another story about how crucial immigration is for the U.S. The gentleman that runs the Marriott hotel chain talking about it. I was just ranting about it. Okay, here's another cool story, I thought. Not cool for people who travel, but this is interesting. You know how dynamic pricing came to hotels and airfares and
sporting events.
Tickets at the ballpark, exactly. Mm-hmm. Concerts and things like that. Well, it's now being adopted by places like zoos and other tourist attractions. So if the zoo charged $20 to get in, and they know these 20 days are their peak 20 days of the year, some zoos have now decided to charge $25 or $30. And maybe on the few days when there's just nobody there, maybe they'll lower those prices a little bit. Again, speaking to the advantage of going off season. But more and more places are going with dynamic attraction, dynamic pricing. I guess we shouldn't be surprised about this.
No, not really. You know, dynamic pricing at the zoo should be related to how many of the animals you can't see because they're inside sleeping.
Well, if you want to go to a Giants game this weekend, the Red Sox are in town, and I could tell you that a ticket that would sell for about $35 if you were going to see the Colorado Rockies is probably about four times that to see the Red Sox, and they had a sellout last night. So I guess the dynamic pricing people know what they're talking about. And that is your travel news for today.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
The way Sports Leisure Vacations started 4+ decades ago was by taking people to San Francisco Giants baseball games. And that's something that we still do. In fact, the games have been so popular this year. The Giants are playing so well. We've added a couple of games to the schedule. The Chicago Cubs and the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Cubs are in late August. The Diamondbacks in early September. The packages include your game ticket, which is on the second level and the club level in San Francisco at the ballpark, your transportation, refreshments on board, reserve seating on the coach. You get dropped right at the front door and picked up there. It is the only way to go to the ball game. You can get more information by going to sportsleisure.com and clicking on the baseball tab, or give us a call at 916-361-2051.
And I will be reporting back into an experience of going on the bus this Thursday to the Giants game. Is the club level in the shade?
Yes. Our seats are, to qualify that, sometimes some of our seats are in the sun for like the first inning or two, row. And then, but we're up, and the club level is really, if you're going to a Giants game, this is a little known thing. Don't get seats in the lower level. Get seats on the club level. Because the club level, the only people who can get in up there are people who have tickets for that level. So you don't. The great unwashed are so restrooms, concession lines are much shorter. The concourse is cleaner. The Giants Hall of Fame is up there. Shh! Don't tell anybody, or everybody will know. But the place to sit is on the club level, and it's not that much more expensive. Really, it's not. And where we sit, there are escalators to get us right down to the front door, and out the door. So anyways, I'm giving away all of my secrets, but it does cost a little bit more to go with a group on a bus than it would if you drove yourself. But the way traffic is to the Bay Area now, why would you, if you can afford to skip that, then my recommendation is that you do.
All right. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, I heard recently, and I never heard of this before, of a couple being banned, not banned from one cruise, but banned from 8 different cruise lines. What did these people do?
Well, the Carnival Group owns 8 cruise lines, so they basically got banned by a group. But these folks are influencers, and they run a print magazine about cruising called Sail Away Magazine. They have a YouTube channel about cruising. However, their ability to cover the cruise line industry has changed a little bit in recent weeks. They got this letter from P&O Cruises, which is one of the 8 Carnival Cruise Lines groups. Also includes Holland America and some others. Following review of your recent interactions with us, we believe that you both clearly demonstrated that we cannot offer the holiday that you are looking for. It is thus no longer appropriate for you to travel with us or any of the Carnival Group brands. This includes Cunard, P&O Cruises, and Princess Cruises. I am sorry to have to convey this decision to you. Please note that this letter represents our final decision on this matter, and you will therefore not be permitted to travel with us for a period of 5 years, after which we may review. Please note that no further correspondence on this matter will be entered into. In other words, you're gone for 5 years.
Right.
They put a 30-minute analysis of the whole thing online. I've posted this at TravelGuysRadio.com. Our website won't be operable until this afternoon with this week's posts on it. That's Mark's fault. But anyway, they said, you know, there was a 3-hour line to get on the ship, and they had all these complaints. And when they got to their room, it was filthy. There was a pubic hair on the counter.
Oh.
So anyways, these folks who are influencers, I sometimes think that they're looking for a fight. They're looking. I mean, when I go out on the road, I'm a travel influencer. I take groups of people all over the country and experience service or lack thereof, good food or lack thereof, all of that type of stuff. And I go on the radio and talk to you all about it sometimes. But I try not to hold the feet to the fire of the people who don't do a good job or who do. I tell the people who do. I tell the people who don't. Ask the people who travel with me. I'm pretty upfront with my opinions. But nonetheless, these folks are not going to travel for 5 years on any of this brand's cruise lines. So behave yourselves out there, because what has happened is these guys have just gotten tired of being ragged on. And it's like, if we can't make you happy, then why do you keep coming back? And if you're, you know, we'll just fix it so you don't keep coming back.
Wow, okay.
So, yeah. On to the Airbnb and VRBO are going downhill like a hippo on a water slide.
I love that line.
I thought that was a great line.
I thought right at first it sounded like something that you had made up, but apparently...
This comes from a writer named Rick Riley. If you're an older guy who read the Sports Illustrated for a while, Rick Riley used to be one of the big writers in Sports Illustrated. He has moved on. He works for the Washington Post now, which is a great newspaper. This is an opinion piece, and I'm going to share it with you here because I think it addresses some of the things that we talk about often and things that I hear positive and negative about Airbnb and VRBO. He says, renting someone's home with apps like these used to be fun. Talk about a vibe shift. I'm writing to you from a home rental in France where we had to rent our sheets and towels. No joke, 15 euros a day. When we leave, we have to bring them back, folded. We rented an Airbnb in Lisbon a couple of years ago. It was on the fifth floor of an apartment building and promised 180-degree views of the city below. But when we arrived late at night, there were no views of the city. There were only views of scaffolding out of every window. Disappointed, we threw our bags down and sat on the bed. It collapsed. The next morning, my sleepy wife got out of the shower, only to find a workman staring at her, leaning against the scaffolding, smoking a cigarette. Maybe the 180-degree views were for the workman. The past few years, online rentals, including Airbnbs, VRBOs, and others, have been going downhill like a hippo on a water slide. When they started, it was kind of wonderful to be able to book somebody's house or apartment. They cared about it. They left you gifts and flowers and long notes about the best little restaurants in the neighborhood. Now, I can't remember when we were actually in somebody's home. It's always somebody's side hustle. They own 10 of them and live 6 hours away, and they don't give a dead rodent about you. The decor is always early target. You got a complaint? Send an email and we'll get back to you, maybe by Thanksgiving. And while they're penny-pinching on what you get, they're dollar-grubbing on what you have to pay. You need a second job to pay for the maid service alone. Lately, they've stopped leaving soap. We're paying for Wi-Fi right now, 20 euros a day. We stayed in a place in Rome once that gave us 2 towels for 2 weeks. No hand towels, no face towels, no bath towels, just 2 in-between towels that look like they've been washed in the first aqueduct. We just left a rental in Florence. There was a washer but no dryer. My wife asked where it was. The lady who let us in sneered. No, she insisted, pointing at the windows. You just use the breeze. Okay, my wife asked, so we use a clothesline or a drying rack or something. No, she spat. You just use the chairs. I noticed there were no steak knives, but I wasn't about to ask her. Just look at the ratings first, you say. No, like everything else, ratings for home rentals are unreliable. But our experiences are nothing compared to some people's. There was this woman who rented a house, opened the kitchen drawer, and found hundreds of bugs crawling all over the silverware. When she complained, the manager wrote back, "It's Florida. There are always bugs." In May, we decided to stop fighting all this and buy our own apartment in Florence, a city we love. So we did, and now we've started looking into renting it out the 9 months that we aren't going to be there. Turns out, the owner's side of the equation may be worse. People might rent a place for a few days and make meth. Grifters use fake IDs for the rental, might steal more stuff than the Grinch. We know a couple who rented their house in Denver to a young-looking guy and his friend who wanted to, quote, study for finals and instead held the prom after-party there. Welcome, class of 2025. In Seattle, a guest called the owners and said he'd locked himself out. They told him where to find the hidden spare key. He called, couldn't find it. It was raining, and he was sounding desperate. They told him again. Still nothing. 20 minutes later, they worried, they called him, and he was inside. Did he find the key? Nope. He found a rock and threw it through the plate glass patio door. Turns out he'd been looking in the wrong place for the key. Then there was the guy who rented to somebody who made a porno in his apartment. And that, ladies and gentlemen, are some of the trials and tribulations of Airbnb and VRBO, as related by writer Rick Riley. You know what my favorite radio memory is? Actually, there are a couple of them. One of them involved you.
Is that when I went off the air because I said something bad on the air?
No, when you used to be on KCRA in the afternoons and back in the olden days. But the greatest radio memory ever was my babysitter when I was in grade school had a Victrola, one of those huge radios.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And you turned it on and it took like 2 minutes to warm up. And I raced home from school. This would have been 1962. Giants playing the Yankees in the World Series. I raced home from school to try to catch the end of the ball game and turned on the Victrola and stuff like that. And the first thing I heard was Willie McCovey hitting a line drive to Bobby Richardson, which ended the 1962 World Series. It was the last play of the seventh game. I'll never forget that. It took forever to warm up, and then literally it warmed up just in time for me to hear that last thing. So while we have been on the air here, one of our news feeds that we have has sent me an update. These aren't really, I wouldn't call these breaking news, but you could probably say this just in.
Okay.
And you think we should talk about this story? British Airways crew spends night in Milan sex dungeon hotel.
Yeah.
It seems as though, yes, it seems as though the people who book hotel rooms for crews for British Airways in Milan got mixed up. The website for the hotel they were supposed to be booked at is mo.om hotel, and they booked them into the motel mo.om, which is an entirely different place, it turns out. Turns out that the place that they booked them into is a pay-by-the-hour sex motel, and that's where the crew went, and everything else was pretty much booked. No, we probably shouldn't go into that one. Let's see here. Here's another in the just in category. Busted Uber driver confronted about cancellation scam. This comes from Ben Schlopping at One Mile at a Time. And this is kind of interesting. He talks about this scam that apparently some Uber drivers are. Have you ever requested an Uber? And, you know, you look at it, it says the car is 5 minutes away. And 5 minutes later, you go back and look at the car, and it says the car is still 5 minutes away. It looks like it hasn't moved.
Right.
Apparently, in some cases, the drivers can accept a ride, and then they don't come and get you, and they wait for you to cancel. Because if you cancel, they get a little bit of a fee because you've canceled after you've ordered a car. And so it's a way of, in essence, double dipping or not having to go get a ride that you don't want. It's kind of an interesting article. I never knew that such a thing existed. And then someone comes in at the end and says, no, Uber has changed that in one of the comments and says, no, you can't. The drivers can't do that anymore. So it's not possible. Anyway, just kind of interesting. I use Uber occasionally when I'm on the road. If you're an Uber driver, go to TravelGuysRadio.com and tell me if this is legit or not. Is it possible to accept a ride and then just be a no-show and collect something from it? Or does that, you know, if you do too many of those, does Uber or Lyft or whomever get unhappy with you? I'm not an Uber or Lyft driver. I'm just a rider. I don't know. I have pretty good experiences. The prices have gone up. The drivers are making less. They complain more than they used to because they're making less. But
well, you know, I particularly when I go to Las Vegas, I use it exclusively, rideshare of one kind or another. And It's quite common, particularly when you're being picked up at the airport, at that massive mess that they have across the street at the top of the parking garage, that you'll go ahead and ask for a car. And then you, like you say, it'll just sit there and it'll say, be there in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Be there in 10 minutes. And it'll tell you who it is that's coming, and then it'll switch. It'll be a completely different license plate, different car, different number, and it'll say, be there in 5 minutes. And that can happen maybe three times before you finally get a notification that there's really a car that's going to come and be there. But it's never on time, and almost always it's a swap out one or two times. I never really knew exactly why or what was going on, but instead of expecting to order a car and get it, I've gotten over that.
You know what? If you're a rideshare driver, I don't get rideshare drivers here locally often, but if you're a rideshare driver, TravelGuysRadio.com, drop me a note. We'd love to have you on the program. Maybe we could talk about, you know, what from a driver's point of view, what's the good and the bad aspects of all of this ride sharing type stuff. I think that would be a fun interview. If you've been doing it, you know, not for 20 minutes, but if you've been driving ride shares for a while, go to travelguysradio.com and drop me a note if you'd like to be on the program, and we'll hook up and get a chance to talk to you. All along Route 66 from Chicago to Los Angeles, communities are sprucing up because next year Tom
birthday
is going.
Party.
Yeah, next year is going to be the big centennial for the old highway, and I mean literally, I get these things. This one is from Illinois. Talks about some of the different Illinois Route 66 Centennial Commission and some of the cool things they're doing along the road. And because I'm familiar with the road and a lot of these places they're talking about, it gets me excited about taking groups next year on the old highway. It's the ultimate off-the-beaten-track trip. And as time goes on, a lot of these old roadside attractions that used to be really, really awesome in their day, they'll never be awesome again. So they're really for the person who enjoys taking a trip down memory lane. Some of the best cities in Illinois, Pontiac, and for sure Springfield, Illinois, the capital, those are two really big cities. Tulsa is a big city. Springfield, Missouri, also is a big Route 66 city. Tulsa, Oklahoma City. Amarillo, there's some cool stuff around Amarillo. The old highway doesn't go to Las Vegas, but it gets fairly close, so you could always make a detour there. Oatman, Arizona, where the burros roam the streets. That's a really, really, really special place. But anyway, we'll talk more about this, I'm sure. Sports Leisure Vacations is going to offer trips down the old highway. We'll do the eastern side in the spring and the western side in the fall. We take 19 days to do the highway, 10 days on the east and 9 days in the west. If you drive it yourself, it's a little over 2,000 miles. You can drive it in probably 5 or 6 days, but you wouldn't see anything. So don't do that. Instead of driving the whole thing, if you only have a week, drive half of it or a third of it. And that way you'll really get an opportunity. Because the thing about the old highway is it's fun to get off and meet the people along the way. You got to get off and meet the people at the Uranus gift shop in Missouri, where everybody who works there is called a fudge packer. And they sell fudge. And the name of the place is Uranus. And they yell it out when you walk in the door. And it's in the middle of the Bible Belt. And those are special places that you need to go to along the way. So if you're just driving the road... To drive the road, probably not the best decision ever made. Speaking of old stuff, being fixed up, the Hotel del Coronado, says a headline, just completed a $550 million, with an M, dollar restoration, and the pictures of the rooms are just wow. Of course, they started about $600 a night and go up from there, depending on when you want to go and what type of room that you want. But boy, it's just the Hotel del Coronado is really one of the classic places in the country. It is now a Marriott-related property and has undergone a spectacular overdue. If you are a fan of historical hotels, you're going to want to make sure you get to the Del. I have contacted them. If you're a Sports Leisure traveler, you can expect a trip to the Del to show up on the schedule for next spring sometime, because it's one of my favorite places, and it just looks cool.
Awesome, awesome. All right, well, let's see. We got time for one more story.
All right, one more here. Airfares to Europe are going down, just like hotels. So really important, if you've already bought an airline ticket for a vacation in Europe, make sure you go back and check, because in many cases, if the fare has gone down, you are entitled to that lower fare. Because sometimes you can cancel the ticket without penalty and just buy the new one, or the airline will just put you on the new fare. So if you're planning a European vacation, keep an eye on the airfare. If you're not, know that airfares between some city pairs have dropped fairly significantly in the last couple of months. So there you have it.
Well, that wraps it up. Yeah, that wraps up another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys. We'll be back next Saturday at 11 o'clock. Do it all again. Mark?
In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. See you next time. He's always leaving town. He never